There's a quote from the poet Mary Oliver that says, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" It's a good reminder that if we want to do something wild, there's no time like the present. 5 years ago, professional traveler Jeff Jenkins asked himself this question. The answer changed his life. Jeff's goal was to make a living traveling around the world, and today he's doing exactly that. After years of hard work building an online platform called Chubby Diaries, Jeff is now the host of National Geographic's TV show, Never Say Never.
I'm supposed to climb this?
Ooh.
OMG. I know, Mama, you don't want me up here right now. Well, we up here. As a chubby black guy, I don't see a lot of folks who look like me exploring the world.
That was for you, Mom.
I gotta show people that you can look like me and still live your best life.
Ooh, this one got me. It's the power of just pushing past whatever that fear is right now.
That was amazing.
Oh, my God.
That was incredible.
We did that.
I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Wild Ideas Worth Living, an REI Co-op Studios production brought to you by Capital One. Jeff Jenkins, welcome to Wild Ideas Worth Living.
Hi, Shelby. I'm so glad to be here right now.
You've had a lot of wild ideas. I'm so excited to talk to you about them. I haven't talked to someone who is like a professional traveler in a really long time, and wow, I just watched your videos last night and I just got so inspired and so excited. You just seem so fun. You got so much energy. Where did your love of travel begin?
Well, I mean, it starts off more of like a sucky little situation, but my mom was in an abusive relationship and we were fleeing away from the man, and we went from Orlando to Connecticut in a Greyhound bus, and I just fell in love with like being on the open road, being able to see all the trees, going state to state. And although it's a sucky situation, that's where my love for travel started.
Did you continue to travel after that?
Yeah, so we would take like family trips where there were always car trips. So I was desperately wanting to get into an airplane.
So when was the first time you went on a plane?
I was 20 years old and I was in college at the time.
Where did you go?
Japan. Yep, first time ever going on an airplane. And I remember being able to talk to the flight attendants at the time, and they all were like, "Wait, this is your first like flight ever?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they was like, "Well, this is one heck of a flight." And I was like, "Yeah, it is." But that's like just me stepping out and doing something wild.
After his trip to Japan, Jeff became a high school teacher back in the U.S. A few years in, he started to reflect on the direction that his life was taking. He didn't want to spend any more time on a path that wasn't aligned with his dreams. While he liked teaching, Jeff aspired to build a career traveling and helping people.
When I quit my job, I was a high school teacher for 9 years. I got into entrepreneurship. While I was trying to figure out like what I was going to do, I started a water well project where we built water wells out in Rwanda with my friends. And it was while we were there, like the fact that none of us was engineers, I didn't even know how water came out of the ground, but the fact that we were able to like build these water wells, I was like, I can do anything, you know? And so it was while I was on that trip that I asked myself the question, like if money wasn't an option, if whatever I wanted to do was actually to happen for me, like what would you do? And it took me 3 days to come to this conclusion of like, I want to travel the world, help people and get paid to do it. And that's what like took me down this journey of content creation and journalism and blogging. It was my cousin who was like a PR rep and she knew how to help with branding. She gave me this worksheet to fill out because everybody was like, "Oh, you need a niche. And I was like, "I don't know what my niche is going to be, you know?" And so I filled it out and I was like, "I have nothing." And then we went over it together and she was like, "Why don't you just talk about this, like being fat and black?" And I was like, "You know what? I should just talk about that." I realized then that I was like, I don't know anyone talking about the plight of plus size travel. And a story that had just happened right before was me and my wife, who's not plus size, we went on a trip together and I started asking her questions. I said, "Hey, do you not think about like weight limits?" She was like, "No, never." I was like, you don't think about size restrictions? She's like, no. And I was like, what world do you live in? You know, and it just, it shows that there's some kind of like there's two different worlds in a way for like plus size people and people who aren't plus size. And so I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to change that narrative. Like, why is it that everything that we see in magazines and stuff is just always like some thin, fit person and never like anybody that's plus size?
Okay, I have so many questions. First of all, do you know how many people I talk to or how many people I know whose dream is, I want to go make a living traveling the world and getting paid to travel? Like, it's pretty much everybody. But then there's you and you're like, I'm actually going to go do it. How did you go do it?
I was very delusional, and I still am delusional to a point, but I read this book called The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone, and he talks about dreaming big, and he talks about how, like, what it, like, I want you to have these, like, big, audacious goals, like, whatever that dream is, now times it by 10, so then you're like, oh, wait a minute, like, oh, this is, like, it's uncomfortable, it becomes scary in a way, but it's like those scary dreams, those scary goals are the things that can wake you up in the morning to go after them. And I was like, well, if they can do it, I guess I can do it as well, you know? And so that was the challenge. That was the thing that I've thought of, but it was a lot of work. We can dive into it.
Let's dive into it. I'm really curious because that's a wild idea that you've made a reality, and it took some sacrifice and some work and probably some no's and some investment in yourself and other people. Yeah. What are like some of the key things you did that you made happen?
Well, one, I figured out my niche, like I was telling y'all before. Like, I wanted to have a niche where the lane was wide open, you know? Like, no, I'm over here, like, skipping down the road because there's nobody else doing it like I am. And so that competition really isn't there. So it helps me out as a person because, like if it's too overly saturated or too competitive, I'll just move on to something else. But this is something I truly am passionate about and I'm excited about. So being able to do that, I would also say, and some of this is like that woo-woo stuff of like just dreaming big personally, like you have to make these goals. So not only did I have like the dream of wanting to travel the world and get paid to do it, but it was like a why attached to it. So it's like I needed to know my why.
What was your why?
Well, you know, I have like other goals. Like I want to be a billionaire one day. Like I want to own part of the Orlando Magic. I want to be able to take care of my community. I want to be able to take care of my family. I want to play for my family's retirement. I still want to go to space. I wanted to get a travel show. Like all of these different things, like I wanted. And it was like, these are the reason why I'm doing it. I don't actually care to make this money, but I do know what I can do with this money. Now, when I make this money, I'm able to give back to different organizations. So those are the things that keep me going. Like the sacrifice was the time. Like I had to do a lot of this stuff pro bono, all the tagging, knowing that nobody's going to look at my content. Like when I started blogging, when I started posting on the internet, I would get like one or two likes or one or two reads on my blogs. Like, so it was like nobody. And it wasn't even like, it was like my mom and some other random people. Even my wife wasn't doing it at the time. So there was like all of that happening. So it's like, man, you have to push past the imposter syndrome. You have to push past nobody looking at your stuff. It took almost a year before I got my first paid gig, and it was like $500. And when I tell you that $500 felt like $10,000, $12,000, you couldn't tell me anything. I was so excited.
When Jeff got started, there was no blueprint for building a career as a plus-size professional traveler, which was both a blessing and a curse. On one hand, his competition was limited. On the other hand, he had to figure out a lot of stuff on his own. He started by attending every conference he could, trying to learn the ins and outs of content creation and building a personal brand. In addition to gaining an online following, Jeff also had to get out the door and explore the world. So what did that look like initially? You created travel content, which meant you just had to go travel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I took out a loan for $25,000 and it was supposed to go towards the business, which some of it did, but I was so scared at the time. I was like, I still have bills. So I ended up using most of it for bills instead of for the business. But I had to figure out a way to travel as much as possible on a very low budget. almost zero budget. So I decided to go to like countries like Thailand where it was very affordable, and it was sleeping in hostels. Well, Thailand, you can get a fantastic meal for a dollar, but going in like in Japan, getting like food from just out of the 7-Elevens there. So it was like I always had to find ways, and I kept trying to go to like smaller, cheaper countries so that I didn't have to pay as much.
But your content instantly got an audience, it sounds like. I mean, you were serving this niche that hadn't been served before. And I'm just curious, what was the reaction like from community?
I was just as shocked as everybody that's joined the community or even people that are in my close circle of like, I was like, oh, wow, this resonates with people. Like, I didn't realize, because this is something I personally had to become more transparent and bold enough and courageous enough to talk about, like, the challenges that I have as a plus-size man traveling. And, like, some of it's not pretty. Some of it's, like, very uncomfortable to talk about. So the fact that I was doing that and finding that there was people that it resonated with and they were like, oh, my God, I have this same thing, that just empowered me even more. Like, I had to step out of my comfort zone a lot in the beginning, because I wouldn't even take a picture past like my shoulder area. Like that was the extent of my pictures. And so now I was like, oh, I have to show my whole body. Like people are going to catch me from other angles. And I was like, I don't want to show off these other angles. And so it's in that I was like, okay, thank you to the community for their support, because it emboldened me to do more. Them being able to see me, I became that representation. I became the person that was like, you know what? I'll go do it. You don't have to be the one that has to go test it out first. I'll go test it out.
What year was it that you really started traveling in earnest and you decided like, hey, I'm going to be like the travel man?
Yeah, travel content creator. I love it. 2018.
Okay, amazing. So since then, where are some of the favorite places you've traveled?
Oh, man. Well, Mexico has become one of like the countries that like have been pleasantly surprising. And I can keep going to Mexico all the time. Like there's so many places in Mexico that I haven't even explored yet. Mexico is a beautiful country and it's massive. And I remember somebody else saying that Mexico was their favorite country. And I was like, Mexico? And I was very biased at the time, you know, ignorant of like what was actually in Mexico. And then I started visiting and I was like, man, I'd have been around the world. And Mexico continues to like come out on top. So Mexico, Belize, Italy, just beautiful places. South Africa. Oh, in love with South Africa.
How do you find the next place?
I have like bucket list places I want to visit. And a lot of times people have already been to those places. So it's just me checking off my bucket list. I try to do everything geographical. So if I'm in this state or if I'm in this country, like, hey, I have the opportunity of stopping by here while I'm here. So let's do that.
Over the last 5 years, Jeff has been to 46 countries and 48 states. He paddleboarded in Iceland, did capoeira in Brazil, sumo wrestled in Japan, and rode hot air balloons in New Mexico. Trip by trip, Jeff is proving to the world that travel is for everyone. When we come back, Jeff talks about how his online platform, Chubby Diaries, came to be. He tells us how he became the host of Nat Geo's Never Say Never, and he shares some important insights on going after wild ideas. I have good news. The REI Co-op MasterCard turns everyday spending into limitless possibilities by offering benefits and rewards that support your love of the outdoors. The REI Co-op MasterCard is just available to members, taking your membership even further by offering 5% rewards on every purchase at REI, on top of your typical 10% co-op member rewards on full price purchases. And there's a bonus. This card also includes a 1.5% reward on purchases anywhere MasterCard is accepted. Not only does the REI Co-op MasterCard benefit you as a co-op member, but it also gives back to the community by donating $2 million annually to the REI Cooperative Action Fund. Visit REI.com rei.com/mastercard-podcast to learn more about these benefits and to apply. That's rei.com/mastercard-podcast. Terms apply. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my running and surfing. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm adventuring outside. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even get out there. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate, they want you to start your adventure hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade and lemon lime. They also have non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients and contain 90% less sugar than the leading electrolyte drink mix. Noon hydrates you more so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. That means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. If you're interested in giving Noon Hydration a try, head into your local REI store before your next adventure or purchase at rei.com. Anything can happen after noon. Happy hydrating! Hey everybody, I have a sweet deal you're going to want to take advantage of for your summer adventures. We know it can be hard to find a campsite in peak season. That's why HipCamp and REI Co-op have teamed up to offer the Summer of Magic Campout Series. If you haven't heard of HipCamp, it's the simplest way to find and reserve the best campsites on Earth. Think over 5 million acres of beautiful, private camping you won't find anywhere else. All summer long, you have a chance to win free campouts and experiences at the most incredible campsites in the country. This might mean a fully loaded campout with gear and snacks, secluded spots next to beautiful waterfalls, or even the ultimate pup-friendly road trip. All you have to do is say yes to magic. Want in? Sign up at hipcamp.com/magic. You'll get notified when new experiences are announced. Once they are, they will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. So make sure you're prepared and sign up today. Again, that's hipcamp.com/magic for a chance to be part of HipCamp and REI's Summer of Magic Campout Series. Travel journalist Jeff Jenkins launched his platform Chubby Diaries in 2018. He started out with just an Instagram profile and a blog where he documented his adventures as a plus-size traveler. Soon, he began partnering with brands and winning awards for his content. Talk to me about Chubby Diaries. When did you start it?
I started it in 2018. It took so long to actually start. It took me like 4 or 5 months of just like, I should start it. I should get it going. And I had a business coach at the time. I mean, I did not need a business coach. But the one thing he did help me out with, he was like, I need you to launch Ugly. I need you to launch your Chubby Diaries website. Even if you ain't got much on there, just put a landing page up, put something up. So that was 2018.
So, okay, Chubby Diaries, it's now probably huge. It seems like an amazing platform. What's been the reaction?
I mean, it's been great. When we were in the heyday of blogging, like we were doing it. Like we were trying to find as many topics on like whatever challenges that plus size people were having or just destinations that plus size people should be visiting. Like I realize that plus size people believe that they can't go travel and have a good time like people who aren't plus size, you know? And so I try to show all the things that they can do. And typically people are actually smaller than me. So me being able to do it means that most of the other folks can do it as well. So their reaction has just been fantastic. Hearing so many people being like, oh, this is something I didn't even know I needed, but I need it. Or to hear people who aren't plus size that follow the account, but they only follow it because they have a friend, a family member, a spouse that is plus size. And like, whoa, I did not know this is why my friend probably wasn't going on these trips with us.
So besides launching Chubby Diaries, you have the dream job. You host a travel show. You're the host of Never Say Never on National Geographic. How did you get this gig?
You know, just grinding. I was doing a lot of work. It was me just doing my content, me being the journalist that I was, like started winning awards for the things that I was doing. So I was making a name for myself in the travel space and in the outdoor space too. And yeah, it was just like 3 years in, Nat Geo like just emailed me one day and was like, hey, we want to make a show around you. And I was like, what? So I was super pumped up about it. And it took 2 years from the time they reached out to me to the time the show actually premiered.
Filming Never Say Never was a huge project. Jeff spent 8 months on the road in South America, Asia, Europe, and even here in the U.S. He rafted in New Zealand, swam with sharks in Mexico, and rock climbed in the Adirondack Mountains. Over and over again, Jeff had to practice confronting his fear and going after his wild ideas. On one trip in particular, Jeff crossed a long suspension bridge that was thousands of feet in the air. It was one of the scariest situations of his life.
It was in Sapa, Vietnam. And it was a suspension bridge that had these logs that you actually had to like, it wasn't like connected, they were like gapped. So you had to like go from like each log and you had to step very widely just to get to the next side. And that was terrifying because that bridge also, like when you moved, the bridge tilted down. So it was like, it was always wobbly.
In addition to crossing suspension bridges and sumo wrestling, Jeff has also had his fair share of wildlife encounters.
What was it like to wrangle a crocodile?
Just as scary as I thought it would be, you know? it was a little terrifying. Like one time, like we did a take and the tail got loose and all you heard was pow against the ground. And it sounded like a gunshot. Like you felt the sound reverberate in your body. And that put the fear of God in me. It really did.
I can only imagine what that's like. So on your show and in life and on your blog, you talk a lot about the importance of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the theme of the show is life begins where your comfort zone ends. I heard that from my mentor who I met in Japan, my first day in Japan. And he said that the second day we were there, he actually made us go do a 8-hour scavenger hunt around Yokosuka, Japan. And like, I was like, wait, what? You want us to like do a scavenger hunt without you? Like, whoa, no. But the fact that we were able to go do it, he taught us like how to order food, how to call a taxi, how to do the train system, go to this landmark, go to this shrine, all these different cool things. The fact that I was able to do it and I didn't die, I was like, oh, you know what? I could step out of my comfort zone a little bit more. And so if it wasn't for him, I realized that like I wasn't living life. I had a sheltered life for the most part. And so to be able to have a fulfilling, more fulfilling life, I needed to step out of my comfort zone as much as I could.
Have you ever struggled to push yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even recently, like just doing the show and being gone for 8 months of just shooting, coming back, it was tough. It was really tough. I didn't know what was happening. I was exhausted. I felt like I haven't been around my family and friends for a while. So that was tough. And I just had to like find that motivation to like just keep going in that way. I would even say like there's like hikes or climbs or things that I do to where I'm just like, I don't know. And I also do know my body. I mean, I'm not doing this for sport, you know? So I don't have to kill myself to go prove something. And I'm never here to prove something to somebody. But I do. I have my moments. Like there's climbs or there's hikes that I do. And I'm just like, man, I'm going to go at a snail's pace. When I get there, I get there. And I'm not going to like worry about somebody else. I'll let everybody know. I'll be over communicative about like, hey, I'm going to take my time. Like I might be out of breath a couple of these times, but y'all go ahead without me. I will be okay. Usually somebody wants to stay back with me anyway and be like, you know what, Jeff, I'm glad you said it because I wanted to stay back too. I didn't want to go that fast. So there's a lot of moments, but I like, once again, it's other people that motivate me. Me not doing it, like it's that, have you ever heard that thing? If not you, then who? I feel like I'm the who. So like, I have to go for it. Like, I have to be that person that goes out and do it.
You must have so many stories of people who've been inspired and influenced by your content.
Yeah, when I did the show, like each episode there's a challenge. And the challenge I was supposed to do in Japan was to go sumo wrestling. For the most part, you know that like most sumo wrestlers, they're no shirt and have on like somewhat adult diapers. It's a mawashi. But I was like, well, I'm not taking off my shorts, but I will take off my shirt. And that was a challenge of its own. Because rarely in public have you ever seen me with my shirt off. And that's the same exact thing for a lot of plus size people. They don't want to take off their shirts in public, especially like when they're at the beach or something like that, or at a swimming pool. So me doing that, my friend's coworker, he said it's been over 15 years since I've taken off my shirt. And he was like, I didn't want to do it because I felt like I was going to be judged. He was like, I even thought I was going to be judged by my 13-year-old. But he said, I took off my shirt and was just strutting my thing. And he was like, nobody even was like paying him attention, nor was his son paying him attention. So that was such a beautiful thing to be able to help liberate people from just the different obstacles that they might feel is something they can't do.
On your travels, you know, you've talked a lot about how you've had to deal with your own with doubters, with people that like aren't always on board on the same page as you. And I'm sure there's been like a little bit of self-doubt that you've had to overcome. I'm just curious how you deal with the doubters and the naysayers.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. So one thing I didn't mention earlier when I was talking about like me getting started was I figured out how to brand myself. I figured out what the doubters and the naysayers have to say. I remember one of my family members asked me the question right when I got started. He was like, why don't you just teach people how to lose weight and you don't have to have this platform? And I was like, well, there's so many other platforms out there. And I was like, there's no platform talking to a person where they're at right now. And so I wanted to humanize people. And I would say that like, I'm not here to promote obesity. What I am here to do is promote living life now. And I want people to live life no matter their size. I want them to be able to travel no matter their size. And I love what one of my friends said. He's a travel writer, journalist, author. And we were at a journalist like happy hour in New York. We do it every year in January. And the first day I met him, within 10 minutes of me talking to him, he was like, you know why we're all successful in this room? And he's like, you want to know the secret? And I was like, yeah, teach me the secret. He was like, we're just the ones that didn't give up. And I was like, oh, that's it? And he was like, yeah, we're just the ones that didn't give up. And for me, I have to continue to tell myself, don't give up. Like, you have to just keep going. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. It doesn't seem like something's happening, but something is happening. And so I measure myself off of my progress. Am I making progress in whatever it is that I'm trying to do? And the answer typically is yes. So that's how I'm able to evaluate myself.
Talking to Jeff really lit me up. His energy is absolutely contagious. He pushes himself hard to reach his goals, and he's such a leader. I love his message, live your life now. If you want to learn more about Jeff, check him out on Instagram at Chubby Diaries. You can also watch Never Say Never on Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV, and more. Wild Ideas Worth Living is part of the REI Podcast Network. It's hosted by me, Shelby Stanger, produced by Annie Fassler, Sylvia Thomas, and Sam Pierce-Nitzberg of Puddle Creative. Our senior producers are Jenny Barber and Hannah Boyd. Our executive producers are Paolo Motola and Joe Crosby. As always, we love it when you follow the show, take time to rate it, and write a review wherever you listen. And remember, some of the best adventures happen when you follow your wildest ideas.